Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Weavesday Wednesday, Tucson, Arizona's number one online radio podcast about all things medical cannabis. Your host, Bellstar,
and the Cannabis Kid. Our show features news, interviews, and all the latest information about anything and everything medical cannabis related in Tucson, Arizona,
and the world at large. We'd love to hear from you. Please give us a call, 646-915-8421. Email thctucson@gmail.com. You can like us on Facebook, visit us on MySpace, or tweet with us on Twitter.
Our sponsors for Weavesday Wednesday are Growers House, Accurate Med Testing, EZMarijuana.com, and Culture Magazine.
We would like to thank Tumbleweeds Health Center and Studio C for hosting our show every week, along with the lowest price certifications in town. You'll find hemp products, accessories, and all things educational related to medical cannabis.
Visit Tumbleweeds Health Center at 5315 East Broadway Boulevard or online at tumbleweedshealthcenter.com.
And remember,
be smart, be safe, and educate.
Welcome to Weavesday Wednesday. I think we just had a little spiritual interference there.
Good morning, everybody.
Good morning, everybody. It's not really a good morning. We're all in tears over here. And we're really hoping that was a little spiritual intervention there because we have lost somebody. We have lost our tech guy. And we didn't know it. We just talked to his mama yesterday and we want to tell you that we're so sorry. And that we love you, and that we miss you, and that we are so grateful for the time that we had with you. It was my little silent co-host I was just thinking about this morning. He'd been to darn near every show and was so proud of that. He made more shows than all my hosts did. Sorry, but he gets a clap on that one. And it was just a tragic thing, and we're really sad this morning, but I don't know how the show's going to go. We've got a really good interview coming up that we decided to just keep up with because Tech Guy would not want us to stop the show on his account. He would. Mm-mm. He always wanted us to just keep going and keep doing our thing.
First.
He put everybody else first. Never complained. That's why we didn't know he wasn't feeling well. Very few people pay attention to everybody in your life. Look around. If someone's not feeling well, you got a little gut feeling, talk to them. This man was so sweet and so quiet, and he was a quiet warrior for cannabis. And he was out saving.
You can also see the doctor for that if you have any medical records at all.
That cannabis has to offer, then please come into Tumbleweeds. So. Some of the products that they carry at Tumbleweeds, an array of vaporizers for dry herb concentrates, anything for you to be able to, I'm not sure if you guys still have the bubble hash maker.
Oh, we sold the last one, but we can get more.
I think that was something
we're
that...
We're back on the air, folks. Nice. We're really sorry. That was really weird. Thank you, Tech Guy, for getting us back on. You're in a lot of trouble for kicking us off for the first couple of minutes. Tech Guy didn't want you all to know that he has passed on, literally. We have a spiritual angel called Tech Guy now, and he was trying to interrupt the show so we wouldn't get sappy, but it's not going to happen. We're going to get sappy. We're a bunch of girls here, and Cannabis Kid accounts for one of those girls. So thank you for being patient, everybody. We've got a caller on already. I'm not sure if that's Miss Megan Stone or not. But you were, while we were while Tech Guy was helping us fix the show, you were saying some pretty great things about Tumbleweed Health Center, which is where we met Tech Guy. Yeah, he hijacked our very first show. It was awesome.
How was it? And I've always heard that story, but I don't know exactly how it happened.
Heidi Hanford.
Well,
him and Heidi
Hanford? We were using TalkShoe Radio.
Uh-huh. I remember that.
TalkShoe. And we always had problems with TalkShoe, but it was the very first show. I made everyone show up like 3 hours early and sit in a room and stare at my computer with me nervously. And we didn't know, but Tech Guy was out in the ether on the internet, ready to call in for the show. I don't even know how he found out about it. It's just a gift.
It's bizarre because it doesn't ever talk.
Yeah, he never talks. So the fact that he hijacked the first show is really remarkable, and it's just a sign from the gods that
we're meant to meet.
Meant to meet. So I apparently didn't know which host button to push, and pushed the wrong one and gave him live access to the show and cut myself off. So me and the other co-host kind of sat there goofingly with a room full of people. We did have a real tech guy that was there, but he didn't know what was going on either. And so Heidi Hanford called in as well from Patients at a Time. And her and tech guy hosted
just
the show. Just seriously hosted the whole show. I mean, we butted in. This is what we did for a whole hour for the first show. Hank Kitts and I butted into the show. We tried. We had things written out. We had a guest, our lawyer, Mr. Doctor Lawyer Tom Dean. We'll call him Dr. Lawyer Tom Dean. We call everybody doctors around here because they're that good. But that's how we got our tech guy, and he just, I forgot about this part. If I can even get through this, I'm so sorry. The really cool thing was, the next day, this guy shows up at the health center with a giant loaf of banana bread to apologize for hijacking our radio show. And from then on, we have just all been the greatest of friends. I don't even know if that was medicated. Maybe the first one, it probably was.
He wouldn't make it if it wasn't medicated.
No, it probably wasn't. But then everybody loved it so much, we had to make regular ones, too, so that we could eat the entire loaf at once without going to sleep.
Yeah. He made some pretty amazing things.
What he made was amazing friends and amazing connections. And he did it out of love and kindness and what the program is for, the option to help heal people and the option to help give themselves the chance to heal from this plant and from people that are like tech guy. JJ, as we knew him, and for all of those you know in Arizona, JJ, that we all knew, has passed away. There's going to be a celebration of life for him, which we will announce, and we will have on our Facebook and in our emails and on our website. We will announce this because we will not let this beautiful man quietly go away without a celebration for his life, which is what he deserves. Anyway, we're back on air, I believe. Looks like we have a caller. And I hope our bloggers are still out there. Oh, we got sound. Thank you. Okay. That's our other tech guy from the Netherlands who also deserves a round of applause because he, too, has been helping us from across the planet. And it's what it takes a village, is what someone said at my best friend's mom's memorial. Mrs. Allen, we miss you. And we love you. Too many losses past year, but one of her best friends came up to me, in case you're listening, Little Tate, Tulip Tate, and said, you know what, it takes a village. And I said, you know what, you're absolutely right, and we've got a really good village, and we've got the greatest village here, and Tech Guy will always be a part of that village, and because he founded it, literally, he did. So Tech Guy, we love you.
Thank you for making
the first part of the show and then fixing it, telling us you're still here. I know you are. We know you are. It's just making me work a little harder now.
Uh-huh.
Which you know.
You have
you
all
like
of our eyes open.
Yeah, you do. We've got your glass of water here and we're hitting the blueberries, so we're good. and I hope, The reason we did this show was for education, which is why he tuned in, other than to give us a good time. But I'm hoping that we have Miss Megan Stone of High Road Design Studio on the line here with us, who has been patiently waiting or cutting in and out with us
I was talking to Val the other day and telling her, I said, what a fun job it would be, you know, to go in and help design and create what you want for these dispensaries to look for. You don't want it to be that sterile look that you get from a doctor's office.
Well, that or the cosmetic hot shop that's going to scare the people that are new.
But you want to feel this comfort, this warmth, this all of this stuff that, I mean, we're talking about people who have PTSD that are going in, that they've known this drug has been such over controversy. I love Dr. Irvin.
when he was down here talking,
he said some of the reason I feel that so many Americans and so much of the world has a high anxiety
over
cannabis.
Mm-hmm.
And yes, we know that it does increase heart rate, and we do know that it increases anxiety in some people. But what if, he said, what if this anxiety has been brought on by the stigma that has been pushed in our face, the fear that you're going to jail over a plant?
If they said bubble gum was illegal, you'd be afraid to bubble gum.
Exactly.
And
so, you know,
still do it,
we're human
still
beings.
To do it, right?
We have a government. We have a lot of military. We have a lot of officers. We have a lot of police. We're a highly policed area. We're under a lot of...
And we're the free country.
And, you know, you start thinking about, but it's, you know, and they say it's for our protection. And who are we being protected? You know, who are we being... protected from
ourselves. You know what?
Exactly.
Tech guy like G13, we're going to get some out right now.
All right.
So he liked that. I remember, it's really funny because when he first came here, we're going to go back and forth with stories. And we will get to the interview real quick, but I have a story real fast before we get there. Because people that grow their own cannabis, they become very particular about smoking just or using only their own cannabis. You know, you get to a point where you know what's in it, you like it, you know what it's going to do to you, how it's going to affect you, you want to stay there, right? So for a long time, Tech Guy would not partake with us. Remember?
He
just came in, he had had his brownie, he was fine, he didn't need anything else. And then to be a part of the tribe, he started partaking with us. I think just for the camaraderie of it all, I'd like to say, because he liked my meds.
He was a very stern man.
But he did ask.
Yeah.
One time, he wanted to trade some blueberry for some of my meds that I grew, which to me, in that moment, was the highest honor I could have gotten from him.
Very honoring.
It was, because he said, hey.
I want to try yours.
You're all right. I can try yours, you know.
Mm-hmm.
That's a big leap for a grower who grows one kind, the best blueberry you'll ever get on this planet, and didn't veer from it. So we're going to smoke some G13 for him. But let's do this. Want to do it? Should we open up the airway and say hi to Megan?
Good morning, Megan.
And let's see if we can get to Megan here. All right.
Good morning, Megan. How
are
you?
Are you with us, Megan?
I am, yes. Thank you.
Oh, thank you for being patient through our sob show this morning.
No problem. We lost
a really good friend, and just found out last night, actually. That's why we're still just so
affected. I'm so sorry to hear that.
Yeah, but, you know, he would want us to keep going because we're the reason he tuned in and took over our show is because we need to educate people, and he knew the importance of that. So, Megan, tell us, we have a bright, smiley, shiny photo of you on our tumbleweedhealthcenter.com. Everybody should look at right now because if you saw us, we all have big crying eyes. Tell us about yourself, Megan, and thank you so much for coming to the show this morning.
Thank you so much for being here.
Thank you so much.
Well, thank you. Thank you guys for having me and giving some promotion to the Women Grow chapter up here in Phoenix. I'll be speaking at the meeting there tomorrow night about some of these same topics we'll be talking about today. But I am a cannabis retail designer. I've been involved in medical marijuana in some way, shape, or form since 2007. So I go quite a ways back as a patient. I was also a bud tender out in Southern California for a few years while I was going through design school, and then became general manager of a small chain of shops. And then over the last 2 years, of course, I've been running the High Road Design Studio. So I've seen many facets of this industry, and that's really the core of my business, that I can come into these shops and work with these business owners and really create these retail experiences that cater to all of the people who touch them, the patients and the customers who come in, the employees who work these shops and provide the education and these great services, and then, of course, the business owner who needs to make sure that their business is looked out for, is sustainable, is profitable, is safe and secure, and is helping move this industry forward in a positive way.
Well, that, you know, Megan, you touched on a point I think that's really important, and that is you've seen a lot of different facets of this business. So when you go and look at, you know, anywhere from a dispensary to a certification center to a health center, whatever, you've been a part of that, so you know where patients are coming to you from, because that's one of the things we hear the most is they've got to feel comfortable walking into these places. And if they don't, if they're scared, if they don't like how it looks or feels, they're not going to come in, and then they're going to lose an opportunity that they could, you know, miss a chance on having some really good education and medication for themselves.
I was just going to say I completely agree.
Yeah. Well, what do you do to make, you know, because let's say dispensary started in California in 96, and if you go into a lot of them still, they're still very head shop-like, pot shop, smoke shop-like, you know, deadhead stuff everywhere kind of stuff. And not that that's wrong. We love mismatched tapestries. It's something that we implore. But when you have a clientele that's looking for a medication versus something recreational, how do you set up those two different places?
Well, it really starts at the beginning of the design process. You know, everything from selecting the right site that's going to be suitable for a commercial business, you know, all the way through putting the finishing touches on and designing those display cases and merchandising that product at the end of the day so it's more easily sold. You know, design is so much more than just the aesthetic piece of it. And that's what I think is the value that a retail designer really brings to the table. As a designer, you know, we try to design everything in our heads in white at first, because that's really the way you make sure things function and are laid out properly. And layout has a huge impact on the atmosphere, the way things feel when you walk in, and the entire customer experience. If the layout doesn't work, if it doesn't flow, if it's not conducive to privacy when privacy is needed, if it's not conducive to a fast, speedy checkout process when that is needed, if it's not conducive to the employee doing their job quickly and safely and maintaining good customer service levels, none of the aesthetics that we bring in and none of the warm, fuzzy feelings we bring in with color or finishes or materials are going to have the impact that they need to have. So, you know, I always start off with clients in talking about what they need their store to function for, what their business model is. You know, are they there to see volume business, or are they there to really provide a consultative service to patients and to welcome that side of the world into their shop? And then we really develop everything from there. So, you know, going away from that traditional head shop feel, I think, is really important, because, like you guys were mentioning, there's a stigma associated with marijuana still. And it's changing quickly. It's going away. But the image that's painted in most people's mind is not of an elevated medical-based or even retail-based experience. And our retail shops are where our industry meets the public. It's where anybody will put a face to what the cannabis industry is. And that's why I feel design is so important and can have such a big impact right now on this industry and the way we move forward, because it's really the retail shops that can reinvent the way this industry is seen and experienced by the public.
It really can, because the moment you walk through that front door, it's, you know, first impressions are everything, especially with something so new and important like this. You know, we get a lot of absolute first timers that walk into Tumbleweeds, and they feel very comfortable coming in. We've made it very relaxing and warm, but they're scared. They're scared, and they need to come into a place that is opening but not overwhelming to them. You know what I mean? They need to be able to get some information but not feel bombarded at the same time.
Yes, yes. And also, you know, they want to make that connection with your business because, you know, for a lot of people, especially in a medical setting, they're coming out of a point of desperation. And that was one thing that being a bud tender and working in these shops really made me realize, that so many people, first-time patients, you know, especially looking at older demographics of people, they were doing this not because it was their first choice, but a lot of times because it was their last choice. And right. to further degrade and demean that experience, I think is such an injustice to these people. They should be walking into a place, and it should be the highlight of their day. And it's only going to enforce the positive experience they're going to have with cannabis every step of the way going forward if they know that that first experience, that first moment, that point where they got their information, that point where they were the most vulnerable and they had to ask somebody how to pack a bowl and light a pipe, they want to be able to associate that with positive feelings and positive memories so that they can come back there and they can be loyal and they can really take ownership in this new step of their life.
And that's it. It's taking ownership and, you know, being able to be in charge and feeling safe in that. And you're right. You're absolutely right. When people come to us, this is their last-ditch effort. Their doctors are saying, hey, well, you could try this. You know, so they come in with this attitude like, I don't even know if this is going to work for me, and I have no idea what this is. I need to feel safe and comfortable.
Mm-hmm. I'm scared.
Yeah, I'm scared. And most of the reviews we get are, I was so anxious coming in. I was nervous coming in. I was afraid to come in. And then they say, I felt great coming out. I got education. I was comfortable. And this has to be an approachable subject for every age group.
Yes.
So how do you appeal to... your younger groups, your younger teenagers, 18, 19, 20, 21, how do you appeal to those guys and to the baby boomers coming in that have never even done it before?
Well, it's actually really surprising. The millennial generation and the baby boomer generation, from a consumer behavior and a demographic standpoint, have a lot more in common than you would think they
right.
are different. They both really like to associate with places and businesses and brands that identify with their lifestyle or that speak to an issue. So just creating a store that is authentic, you know, it doesn't have to mean it's authentic to a teenage nature or authentic to a senior citizen nature, but just authentic to what that business is trying to represent and carry forward with themselves is really what drives a lot of connection in both of those very different demographics. But just keeping things fresh and exciting. There's a lot of businesses out there that have to tailor to multiple different demographics and make sure that the 18-year-old feels just as comfortable and excited to be there as the 65-year-old. So it's just tapping some of those, basic retail design cues and basic parts about creating an experience that's attractive from a design standpoint that we can bring into the space. From a showroom standpoint, for example, a younger person is going to want to see a variety of products, new and exciting things, stuff to try, things they can take out of there, talk about on social media, show their friends, kind of set trends with. But at the same time, a senior citizen wants to know that, they're coming in as a, maybe as a baby boomer, they want to be sure that the product works for their lifestyle. So they're not just looking for one solution. They're looking for new things that make their lives easier and better. So both of those things relate to both of those demographics. And the trick with designing a retail store is then knowing how to merchandise those products and to set them up so that the sales conversation is easier for the employee to have. They can talk about one product and then provide education on a similar product or another option that would be a solution for the customer. But from a customer standpoint, they can kind of come in there and see more than one solution right there in front of them and not have to be told about everything they're looking at.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
So I I have kind of a aesthetic question for you. So when someone walks into a dispensary, certification center, health center of any sorts, what do you want to see the person behind the counter wearing? Do we want to see doctor's outfits? Do we want to see tie-dye? Do we want to see polo shirts? What are we looking for? What's going to make people feel good? Because when you go to your pharmacy and you pick up your prescription for whatever it is at Rite Aid, you've got pharmacists back there, and they've got their white coats on,
mm-hmm.
right? They normally have their white coats on. That gives a little more meaning to whatever they're doing for some people. What are we looking to do like that for this industry?
I think people want to see professionalism. I think people want to see people who are taking their jobs in their industry seriously and kind of getting out of conforming to old trends and stereotypes. So, you know, maybe that is company uniforms, or maybe that is business professional or business casual attire. I do think it's important that we get away from tie-dye, from those typical stereotypes that unfortunately are not helping this industry progress any further. We've won that demographic. We have those people coming to our shops. The people who identify with that look are not afraid of us, and they're coming. We need to open up our doors and our image to accept a broader range of people who don't want to see that in these centers. They don't want to be associated with that stereotype it's always been. They want to use it as a medicine, or they want to use it as an alternative, or they want to use it as a safe way to relax at night. So we've got to really get rid of that stigma. Just like I don't want to walk into an auto parts store and be dealt with by a greasy guy that's off-putting and looks like he was just working under the hood of a car all day. Yes, that's their core demographic, and yes, that's what they sell, and yes, that's what their business is about, but that's not a professional way to run a business, and that's not a way to connect with the people that especially this industry needs to be connecting with right now. I was just on a plane flight last Wednesday, headed up to Vegas, and I was sitting next to an older gentleman who was in his 70s, and he was from Oklahoma, and he spent his whole career running hospitals. And now in his retirement years, he's looking to get involved with addiction centers. And we spoke for 45 minutes about cannabis. He had asked why I was traveling to Vegas, and it was for it was business related. So I told him what I did and the industry I specialize in, and proceeded to have a very open, frank discussion with him about cannabis and how it's used as a medicine, and how we know so much more about it now than we used to. And he point blank told me, towards the end of the flight as we started to descend, that recently there was an effort in Oklahoma to bring a medical marijuana initiative to the table. But it was because the people who were presenting it looked like that stereotype of what you would expect to see from the marijuana industry that he couldn't even pay attention to it, and nor could many of the people he knew. He told me, though, that if somebody like me or somebody that looked more like him and spoke more like him was speaking the same information as other people were, he would have listened. And just like I had accomplished after our conversation, he would have changed his views and his stance on it. So it is really important. You know, we've got to really talk about it honestly. The stereotype is not serving us. And if we want to really see this industry continue to make progress, unfortunately, we have to reinvent our image to maybe look like what is not traditionally our style to look like, but we have to look like everybody else. We have to talk like everybody else, because we need to be seen by everybody else.
I know. I love those conversations where, you know, you talk to someone, you look basically normal, and they say, you have a medical marijuana shop? Yeah. Oh, wow. And then the conversation changes, you know, because they're not looking, at the tie-dyed wearing stereotypical hippie that they see, you know, running around like the government portrays this reefer madness thing. You know, like you said, if they can just see the average, you know, person out there, you know, that's like them, similar to them, maybe even has another job like them too, you know, it's they need something to identify with. They have to be able to have a common ground to identify with before they've got to make that connection. Like you said, they close their ears off just because of what they saw.
Right.
You know, and that you can't let that happen.
And we're also fighting up. We're also coming up against a plant that has been, you know, ridiculed for so long as a drug. And so in the American eyes, we see drugs as bad, pharmaceuticals as good. And that where, you know, you're the white coats, the clean atmosphere, the, and somehow putting those two together in the, that warm, you know, bringing the stereotypical, just sterile environment, and bringing some warmth to it, you know?
Yep, exactly.
So important.
So what are you going to be presenting at Women's Grove tomorrow? And, oh, Thursday, rather? No, that is tomorrow. Holy cow.
That is tomorrow, yeah.
Wow.
I'll be speaking with a colleague of mine, Anne-Marie Lucero. She has a business called AML Insights, and she spent her career the last 20 years studying consumer behavior and retail insight strategies. So she has worked with major brands like Adidas, Athleta, Victoria's Secret, Louis Vuitton, Starbucks, Walmart, Estee Lauder brand L'Oreal, runs the gamut and has studied their retail environments and studied the way consumers interact there. And she's been a part of a founding organization that really created the bulk of retail science and consumer insight that retailers base a lot of their design and strategies on today. So it's going to be really exciting. Her and I are teaming up to talk about kind of the state of the marijuana dispensary industry now, touch on its history, kind of touch on why it started out looking and functioning the way it did. And then Anne-Marie is going to share a lot about her expertise with us and what we can kind of pull from retail insights and consumer behavior science, especially tailored to the way women shop and the way women purchase and the way women use their retail environments, and kind of make some connections with how dispensary owners can implement some of those strategies into their businesses so that we can kind of begin to shift this industry to something that is much more attractive and something that's much more utilized by women.
Absolutely.
Very awesome.
Hate to generalize, but women do like to shop. If the dispensary owners made it more pleasing for them, hey.
Yeah.
More options, more, yeah.
Yep, more.
More accessories.
Let me ask you this. Have you yourself been into the dispensaries around Arizona from Flagstaff all the way down to Tucson? Have you been into them? And what are you seeing as far as the aesthetic so far set up in these? Because this is very new for Arizona. California's had dispensaries since 1996, you know, and I've been in those, and they're all different.
Yeah.
What do you think of ones here? You've been...
I work with clients here in the Phoenix area, and it was actually the medical marijuana industry here and its newness that brought me to Arizona in the first place. When I started my business in California in 2013, I was starting it in a pretty hostile environment. The shop I had been running for the last 4 years, even though we were a very legitimate business, had still become victim to the most recent wave of federal government and government crackdown. So we had just been shut down at the time I was starting my business. So I knew California was not the market for somebody marketing a service like mine. It's hard to sell expensive high-end design services to businesses that don't know if they're going to be there tomorrow. So when I looked to Arizona, what was going on in the industry here was really fascinating. You had a very regulated program. So you had businesses that, with great investment up front, were able to open up shops that had a sense of sustainability, that had a legitimacy, a sophistication that we hadn't seen in California or Colorado yet. You know, places like TrueMed, places like Harvested Tempe, Monarch, these were shops that, you know, I found online on Weedmap and couldn't believe how beautiful and how professional they looked. So that was really a huge force for me coming out here and you know, moving my business here. The industry is just in a much more sustainable, regulated state here. And I think a lot of the shop owners, especially here in the Phoenix area, which I'm most familiar with, have done a great job of beginning to reinvent what that dispensary experience was. However, what's been interesting is now that this industry is, you know, 18 to 24 months old, you know, even some of these really beautiful shops are beginning to have growing pains because they weren't designed and laid out by somebody who had ever bought or sold marijuana before. And lo and behold, our retail business is a little bit different than the traditional retail business. Our products are smaller. We can't display things the way other businesses can display things. We have a ton of regulations we have to follow from a patient flow standpoint and from an employee flow standpoint and from a product flow standpoint. So as these businesses have grown and are doing volume far past what they ever expected to and are now selling products that didn't even exist when they opened their business, they're having trouble, you know, fitting all of that in and making it work for what their business is today. So I work with clients in the Phoenix area right now on kind of planning for some of these remodel strategies and looking towards the future and kind of helping them tailor their business and tweak their business so that it works better for the business that they run.
Absolutely. It's a very important, you know, what we're finding that we're hearing the biggest challenge that patients, when they come back to Tumbleweeds and they tell us they go out to these dispensaries, the aesthetics are nice. They're having trouble with the staff, actually. The budtenders themselves, I wonder, just in their education and stuff, you know, which falls along the lines of, you know, when you design something, you have to design the whole thing. You can't just take a look and make a pretty thing. You can't just make a pretty picture without the follow-through. And that's the challenge that they're having these days. You were, quote-unquote, a budtender yourself, you said, right down in Orange County.
Yeah.
And you were manager of Orange County's patient care dispensary. What was that like going from, first of all, being, I'm assuming you went from budtender to manager, you probably moved your way up there, but when people are coming in, especially the older folk that we get that are first-timers, they've never smoked, they've never had an edible, they've never had a vaporizer, and they walk into a very nice place, you know, and you're their budtender, what is it, you know, how are you going to make them feel welcome with this entire experience?
That's the tricky thing. The retail design is complicated because you can have a great design, but if you don't have good staff or good product, the design is going to fall short. So it's really a team effort when it comes to retail design. You know, as a bud tender, my effort was always to connect with that patient and to make sure that they felt comfortable. Answer their questions. You know, we always started any first-time patient experience with a tour of the shop, which right away made people feel comfortable. You got them into a conversation with you while you were educating them about what they were looking about at, how they were going to move through your shop, what they were going to see along the way. It was a really nice way to kind of give them a wide look at what kind of options were available to them. And you know, most of them walk in and think that they're just going to buy something to pack in a pipe. They have no idea they're going to have to pick between 30 different strains, or they can eat it if they want to. So, you know, it was starting off that conversation slow by kind of giving them a big picture with a tour, you know, making sure that you were talking slow, you were mirroring their personality, and then just, you know, letting them start the conversation once that tour is done by saying, what are you here for today? You know, what are you medicating for? What can we help you with? And then that automatically guides the conversation towards which products you need to be showing them, which options you need to be giving them, and things like that. And setting up the retail experience from a design standpoint to cater to those conversations, to allow some privacy and discretion for those first-time patients so that they can feel like they can openly talk about things that they're not comfortable talking about. That's how we drive the design from that part of the business model.
Absolutely. You've got to make people feel comfortable all the way around from the moment they walk into the person they're talking to down to the person at the cash register that they're buying everything from, you know.
Correct.
It is all about the flow. And we're really glad you're here in Arizona helping everybody with that because we've seen a lot just in the last, you know, 4 years we've been open, and it does take a village. We're glad you're one of the lead village leaders.
Well, thank you guys. I really appreciate it, and I appreciate the time you've allowed me to be on your show today.
Oh, well, thank you. We hope to meet you in person sometime soon and get it to one of the Women Grow meetings. Tell everybody out there how they can get up to meet you and see you speak at the Women Grow meeting tomorrow.
Yes, I will be at the Women Grow meeting tomorrow. It starts at 6:30 at Optima Village in Scottsdale. You can go online to womengrow.com for more information on the Phoenix meeting. If you'd like more information on my business, you can visit my website at thrdesignstudio.com. That's THR as in the high road, and design and studio are both singular. You can also feel free to reach me by email. My email address is Megan, M-E-G-A-N, at THRDesignStudio.com.
All right. And for all the bloggers out there, we just put that up there. So you can get in touch with Megan and ask her how to make your next cannabis business beautiful and pleasing to everybody. Thank you so much for being patient and being on our show. We really have appreciated your time, and we really appreciate what you do because it's important. It's one of the most important parts of this industry that people really don't know about yet. So we're glad you're out there educating everybody about it.
Yes.
Thank you guys so much. I really appreciate it.
Have an awesome day. Thank you.
Talk to you soon.
You too. Sounds good. Thanks.
All right.
It's really cool. That would be a really awesome job to have.
That would be a really awesome job to have. Because it is all about the flow. When you walk into a place, if you're scrambling, if you don't know which way to turn, right or left, who to talk to, which room to sit in, what papers to fill out, you just feel nervous and anxious even more. That's why I could go down to Tumbleweeds Health Center at 5315 East Broadway Boulevard, Suite 103. We're in the back. You'll like their flow. They flow. They got a good flow going on. $85 certification, $65 recertifications, and if you don't have records or they're just too old, come on down anyway. We can do a evaluation diagnosis for you and then get you back in to get certified at a later date.
Lots of great products.
Oh, products galore. If you're not into smoking, which is just a fine thing to do, it's okay to smoke, people. It's okay to smoke marijuana. A cigarette, I'm not a fan of, but... we've got vaporizers, we've got pipes, we've got grinders, we've got ashtrays, we've got bongs, we can say it, we've got bongs. We've got Holy Smokes, all organic cannabis accoutrement.
Ooh, I like that.
Yeah.
Accoutrement.
For your cannabis. Nice little flavor. We've got a beautiful new display case that has in it some of the finest, coolest vaporizers you can buy in town. And I will say, the least expensive. People just pop in, it's funny, we're like, do you have an appointment? No, we're here to buy things. They love it because it's way cheaper.
And you beat other people's prices, don't you?
You betcha.
I thought you did.
On certifications, on anything. You come in, you find it lower, match, we'll beat that ad. We'll beat it. What else we got going on? We've got, what is today? April Fool's. We don't have any jokes today. We've got the 420 event coming on. Good job. Mary Jane is here. Mary Jane's here. And she's telling us about the 420 event. You've got them in your bag. Oh, that's great. Look at that. I want one.
So, 420 event.
It's the first annual 420 pig roast, folks. Medicated VIP. Any state cardholder can partake.
How exciting is that?
That is. Raffle tickets.
So if you're out of town and visiting,
hey,
come on into Tucson.
Yeah.
Come and visit us. We got raffle tickets. MGMJ is giving out gift baskets, so there's going to be, I'm sure that's just going to be a whole
accoutrement of gifts, ganja gifts galore.
Now, I gave this out to a friend the other day, and they were looking, concentrate, full dab bar.
Full dab bar. For those of you, there's only one shelf when it comes to dab.
For those of you
who have not been to the Cannabis Cup, which is Disneyland on marijuana, this will be a very small version, and hopefully there will be regular food to eat.
Yeah. Flower Galore by Desert Bloom. Thank you guys for putting this event on. You guys are one of the head leaders in this. Along with Rush Fire Grill, big guy.
Ultra Health down in Green Valley.
Ultra Health.
They're awesome.
Weed Depot.
What's this?
This is enhanced terpenes. This is the from the makers of Holy Smokes, from Botanic E-Liquids. They'll be unveiling their new enhanced terpenes line that goes with all your concentrates.
Next time we're going to have our little logos together.
I know.
That's cute.
Funny.
Yeah.
So we
cute.
Also have sweet medibles and
chubies.
And more.
Chubies and more. And chubies. For those, it's 21 and over, and non-medicated folks are welcome. You just can't attend any of the things we just mentioned, except for maybe the raffle. But that's okay. It's still going to be a lot of fun.
If you're down there for education,
yeah, see,
it's
gift,
a lot.
Gift baskets and more. Regular gift baskets, not the MMJ gift baskets. Those are probably going to be filled with edibles. And
I want to go back to the non-medicated people. Anyone who's down there and wants to come and talk and visit and learn more about cannabis, they can also get certified.
By Tumbleweed Sales Center. Get down there before 4:20. We'll have your car. It's April 1st, folks. If you all get in, and we're expanding our hours from 10 to 6, coming very soon. Everybody get ready. I know. Deep breaths. We all have to work more. Yes. For you guys to get certified so that you can get down there and be one of the participants at the Medicated VIP Bar, the Zab Bar, Desert Blooms, Flowers Galore, Sweet Medible Chubies. You guys, this is serious. Get
it is serious.
Certified, just so you can go partake in that. This is a once in a life. Well, I know. This is the first.
It'll be here next year.
Okay, but this is a first in a lifetime opportunity.
You want to be the first
and
one.
And that tech guy is smiling. He always smiles, you know, once in a while. I'm gonna miss that. I never knew what he was laughing at. I always thought he was laughing
was
at me. And then I would be like, oh my god, what did I say? He'd be like, oh no, it was something else, totally different. And I think he smiled at that.
Uh huh.
Drink coupon.
Yeah, so there will be a raffle ticket to get
fully loaded bar.
Fully loaded bar.
Cannabis enhances everything.
Yes.
It's not wise to get a little tipsy and then do your cannabis because you could not. It might not work too well. Get certified at the event.
But you won't get to use.
Right. You can't. You still won't be able to partake at the event, but you can get certified. And there's food, music, a pig roast, and more for the public. So, there you have it. What does it say? Code.
Well, no, you can
20%
off.
Code Doobie.
And
and check it out at. Do we have to read the letters? HTTP.
No, you just say. You can go to the website 420pigroast. Eventbrite.com. So also there's a Facebook. Just put in 420 Pig Roast. That'll come up. You'll get a lot more information there. But remember, 420pigroast.eventbrite.com.
Yep. And there you have it. There's going to be food, pig roast here. I don't know if you're
truck.
All to, yeah, I think.
Well, there'll
be
different food than just.
Yeah, I don't know if it's just that. It's just pig. But we'll say a little prayer for the pig that's lost his life for us and our pig roast. I don't know what. Anyway, 420 Pig Roast.
Live music, comedy, comedians and speakers.
It's going to be good.
It's going to be a blast. It's one of the big sponsors, Normal, Desert Bloom, and Brushfire Barbecue. So thank you guys out there for doing what you do.
And Tucson Weekly is also one of the sponsors of this great event. I don't know if you know that, too.
I did.
Yeah, so there you go. Thanks to everybody.
We named them all. Probably.
Yeah, they're all over. Whew. But you can come down to Tumbleweed Health Center at 5315 East Broadway Boulevard and pick up one of these fun little flyers and pass them out to all your friends, post them on your website, tweet them, blog them, link them in, do whatever you need to do, and all that good stuff.
Yeah.
I know there was something, though, on the news section of TumbleweedHealthCenter.com. Let's see here. Besides New York, they're ready.
Probably should tell the time.
Oh, okay. Beep, back up. Pig 420 Pig Roast, noon to 2 a.m. at 5851 East Speedway Boulevard. This is at Club XF, okay? If you want to get down there to watch the pig get started, start praying for your pig at noon, and by 2 a.m., you'll be ready to go home. 5851 East Speedway Boulevard, Club XS. Should we have a prize for anyone that stays from noon to 2 a.m. other than volunteers and staff? So there's going to be someone down there that's going to do that. Yeah. Oh, maybe you'll get a free Tumbleweed shirt. Tumbleweed's Health Center will be
checking out with us at noon at Tumbleweed's, and if check out with us at 2 when you leave, and you'll get your Tumbleweed t-shirt.
Yeah.
Be honest. Don't leave during that time.
Yeah. Don't even fib to us. Pinocchio, we know your nose is
watching you at the door.
We know it. Second marijuana legalization filing in Arizona for 2016. Arizonans for Responsible Legalization will be the second group to file paperwork with Arizona election officials to register an effort to put recreational marijuana legalization on the 2016 ballot. The first group to file with election officials is led by MPP, Marijuana Policy Project, who was behind the 2010 ballot measure that legalized medical marijuana in Arizona. A new committee formed Friday plans to file a ballot initiative to allow adults to purchase small amounts of marijuana for private use and provide new programs for the legal oversight and taxation of the marijuana industry with tax revenue invested into education, said a spokesperson for Arizonans for Responsible Legalization. More information for the proposed initiative will be released this month. The MPP of Arizona's the Marijuana Policy Project of Arizona, that their initiative is modeled after Colorado's recreational marijuana law, which allows adults 21 and older to possess and use up to 1 ounce of marijuana. The Marijuana Policy Project stated that their organization supports the most effective scenario possible for legalizing marijuana in the Arizona, and that they want to establish a good public policy that replaces the underground marijuana market with a system in which marijuana is regulated similarly to alcohol. Let's just hope they let us grow, because if they don't, well...
I heard it was going to be like 5 plants.
We hope. Well, I think that was the initiative that the legislature is getting ready to propose this June. So... Anywho, it's that time of the show, and I think we're gonna head out with Tech Guy's favorite song, Little Bob Marley. Everything's gonna be all right. Miss you, love you.
Don't worry about a thing. Yeah.